In this episode of the Smart City podcast, I interviewed Brooke Dixon, who is the Managing Director of Delos Delta. Delos Delta is the go-to consultant for all things smart cities. Brooke is also the newly elected President of the Australian Smart Communities Association, ASCA. Brooke is a Churchill Fellow, which allowed him to travel all around the world and explore smart cities. He is passionate about creating a digital democracy and include the community in decision making. We dive deep into some of the things that Brooke witnessed overseas, as well as the exciting things that Australia is doing. We did have some technical difficulties during this episode, go figure. So I'll mention now to check out Brooke's TEDx talk on digital democracy after listening, and I'll put all the links in the show notes. As always, I hope you enjoy listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed making it.
It's the Smart City Podcast, whoa, with smart city experts, here we go. Connecting smart technology, both big and small. Smart cities are making life better for all. Big data, emerging trends, self-driving cars and more. The Smart City Podcast is what you're looking for.
Hi, Brooke. How are you going?
I'm great, Zoe. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
Perfect. Well, let's just jump straight in. We'll start in the past. Can you give us or tell us a little bit about your background and what you're passionate about?
Oh, Zoe, where do I start? I studied economics and finance at university, which led me through various treasuries here in Canberra, New South Wales Treasury and ACT Treasury, and ended up in the policy department of ACT government, and was responsible for all of oversight of the government's policy matters and every cabinet submission that went to the ACT government cabinet. And from that was given responsibility for digital transformation, and ended up writing the Digital Canberra Plan some 4 or 5 years ago now, which really took Canberra from back of the pack in terms of digital right up to vying for top spot, I believe, at Adelaide through that strategy. We've rolled out the biggest Wi-Fi network, free public Wi-Fi network in Australia, the smart parking here in Canberra, first smart parking to use Wi-Fi as backhaul in the world, and on the verge of rolling out Australia's biggest smart street lighting upgrade. So plenty of activity came as a result of the Digital Canberra Plan. From that, Zoe, a lot more flowed. And I received a Churchill Fellowship to study digital and smart cities around the world last year. I was able to go to Asia, to Europe, to North and South America, and see the best and the brightest of smart cities around the world. It's just been an explosion of opportunity. Joined the board of the Australian Smart Communities Association as vice president last year. Just a few weeks ago, was elected president after the retirement of our former president, Will Rarett, which is fantastic. That allows me to work more closely with counterparts across Australia and drive smart city activity forward help out councils across Australia. And I'm also managing director of my own company now, Zoe, as you know, Delta. Mm-hmm. We're a management consulting company, and we really work to put in place strategies and plans, prioritise smart city projects, and work to ensure that any smart city investment by a council or a city or a company across Australia really delivers maximum results. So it's been a fantastic journey from finance and economics to policy to smart cities. And, I'm very fortunate, I'm very lucky, and I love my job, Zoe.
Yeah, cool. So what was the initial thing that kind of sparked your interest in the smart city and digital democracy?
Yeah, good question. Look, I mean, you asked the question before, Zoe, about what I'm passionate about. And I can tell you right now, I'm passionate about football, but more to the point, I'm passionate about communities. I'm passionate about developing communities that are stronger, more inclusive, that are connected, have good economic outcomes, and that have good sustainability outcomes. And there's a range of ways you can drive such positive outcomes in a community. But I can assure you that digital transformation, the digital revolution, powerful ways of doing so. And at the end of the day, I'll wave the banner of any positive force that can drive change for our communities. So look, we've done fantastic things here in Canberra, for instance. We were the first city in Australia to modernise our transport regulations and allow Uber to enter Uber and like-minded ride-sharing companies to enter. Now, that's driven significant benefit for consumers and really, you know, opened up the market and allowed, you know, greater connectivity and greater inclusion here in Canberra. So, look, I see, you know, digital transformation as a very positive force for change and reform in our communities. And that's what attracts me to it, Zoe. At the end of the day, I want to deliver benefits and better outcomes for people in cities, in regions, in towns, rural, regional, remote. And, you know, I think it's a great way of doing it.
Yeah, great. So I've heard you speak a little bit about digital democracy. So could you tell us a little bit about that and what it means and why you're interested so much in that space?
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, one of the things I didn't mention about my background is on my second time back at university, I went back and studied ancient Greek and the classics, which gave me a renewed appreciation of, obviously, you know, the philosophy and, you know, cultural aspect, but also a great interest and understanding of the historical forces that shaped society over centuries and millennia. And through that, I really studied a lot more the original conception of democracy and two words in ancient Greek, demos, which is the people, and kratos, which is power, power to the people, people power. Now, as it was originally conceived, it was conceived as something that was quite a direct force. The citizens would gather together and each would have their say on how their society was constructed and their matters of policy and war and peace and, you know, construction and planning and so forth. You know, over a millennium, that has evolved into what we have today, which is a representative style of democracy where we represent elected members to, you know, who are delegated and have responsibility for democratic decision-making. Now, what that means is as citizens, we are far, far removed from issues of decision-making and policy. And that's led to a real, real sense of disquiet in communities and democracies around the world. And in the middle of a digital democracy, I don't see why we all are satisfied with one paper vote every 4 years, because one paper vote every 4 years is simply not a modern democracy. And we can use digital technologies, digital platforms to really empower the communities to be part of decision-making at the local level to start off with. I think that's always the best place to start. But even using platforms to allow, you know, online real-time voting on direct issues so that people have a greater voice, so that people don't feel disenfranchised, so that those who actually are elected to representative parliaments are more accountable to the people. Now, this is a fantastic force of disruption and certainly an area that I don't think we've taken enough notice of in Australia, but there are absolutely pockets of communities and action groups who believe in the positive force of digital democracy and are putting in place mechanisms and are empowering people to modernise our democracy. I mean, as Thomas Jefferson said, Zoe, many people look on a constitution with sacred reverence and deem it too sacred to be touched. And he said that, you know, just as times change, just as culture changes, as science changes, as we become more enlightened, so too should our government, its institutions, its processes, etc., etc. Now, the world around us is changing and we're in the middle of a digital revolution. If we cannot apply digital technology to the modernization, the evolution, the progress of our democracy, then I don't think we're trying hard enough. And certainly, this is something that I think can really, really lead to a great force of positive change for Australia.
It even sounds like to me it shouldn't be a new way of thinking, but it has to be. It should be here now. But it's just a mindset change that, yeah, why do we have a postal vote in 2017? Why do I have to go down to the school, you know, last Saturday and put my paper ballot in a paper box? It's when you think about it like that, the things that we can do online we're kind of stuck in the past. Leading on to that, where do you think that Australia ranks when it comes to that smart city, smart tech kind of space?
Look, Zoe, I mean, Australia hasn't figured very highly, I guess, in the popular vote or the popular perception of smart cities and smart communities. Of course, we look at places like Barcelona and New York and the Scandinavian countries, in particular, as the leaders in smart city technology and so forth. Now, look, they really, particularly places like Barcelona, they really were leaders some 10 to 15 years ago. But one of the things you find if you visit these countries and you get to speak to the people who are actually rolling out these solutions and in charge of their smart city programs, is that, you know, one of the greatest, forces in the smart city ecosystem is the forces of marketing and hype. Now, that is part of the program, because it's about attracting investment, attracting interest, attracting new ideas. But, you know, New York and Barcelona and like, they hyped up big time, all right? Now, I think Australia's actually doing very well. And when I went on my Churchill Fellowship trip around the world last year, I saw some great and amazing things. But nothing that really intimidated me and made me think that Australia is so out of touch and can't be leaders in this sphere. Indeed, I mean, I still believe that my hometown, Canberra, where I was lucky enough to work on their smart city program for many years, we absolutely stack up internationally as one of the best smart cities in the world. There's no doubt about it in my mind. Now, what I think we need to do in Australia, I think we need to have a greater focus on telling our stories, on promoting ourselves, on marketing ourselves, because we want to attract new investment here. We want to export to the world all our fantastic new solutions. I mean, we've got this fantastic little company here in Canberra called EcoSpectral, for instance. They've created new sensors and new information systems that really allow them to smart up, to light up buildings and allow us to really understand how those buildings are being used in real time by people, by processes, through meetings and so forth. Now, that's really powerful. That's really powerful, testing the heartbeat of a building and allowing us to use what is one of the biggest assets on their balance sheet to greater effect. Now, these are the sort of companies, and there's hundreds of them across Australia. I only use EcoSpectral as an example. There are hundreds of them across Australia that are doing fantastic things in the smart city space. What we want to do, what we need to do, is work to promote them internationally, because I believe that Australia is one of the leading smart city nations in the world, and I believe that we can be number one.
Excellent. Good to hear. So other than Canberra, although you can talk about Canberra again, any other places where you think that the smart technology or practices can be piloted in Australia?
There's absolutely a fantastic load of work going on around Australia right now. And, of course, we've just seen the federal government announce their $28.5 million of new smart city and suburbs funding across Australia. So there'll be a host of new projects, a host of new councils and cities that are, you know, getting on board the smart city train and, you know, really creating more momentum. I've always been, as I said before, I've always been really impressed by what's happening in Adelaide. I think that, the combination of the South Australian government and the city of Adelaide in particular, but of course there's other councils who are doing some fantastic things in South Australia and in Adelaide. But, I mean, their initiatives with the free public Wi-Fi, I mean, they were really trailblazers on that front. And certainly here in Canberra, we followed their lead. They have a remarkable, remarkable free public Wi-Fi network, which really does set the benchmark. And of course, with their 10 gig city rollout, where they're rolling out fiber that will really light up that city and provide them the infrastructure and capability that will allow that economy to thrive as we really enter an information and digital age. Now, they're the sort of things that I think, you know, are setting new benchmarks. I mean, we can look at the Sunshine Coast. We could look at what they're doing in the city of Melbourne. We could look at what they're doing in Newcastle. We can look at what they're doing in Perth. I know, you know, Darwin's got new funding to light up their CBD. My good friends here close by in Queanbeyan and Palaring, they got $450,000 from the federal government to make their CBD, the CBD of Queanbeyan, a lovely little town that just sits outside the ACT here in Canberra. They're going to put in Wi-Fi. They're going to put in smart street lighting. They're going to put in smart parking. They're going to integrate their CBD with a new smart building that they're going to put in for the council staff. Now, this is fantastic. It's great. It's what the community expects. It's what technology allows us to do now. And it's fantastic that so many cities around Australia are really jumping on board, biting on the bullet, investing and getting great outcomes for the community. I'm really excited, Zoe. It's a fantastic time to be involved in the smart city space.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I know you've already spoken about some of the things that you're working on right now, but do you want to dive a bit deeper into some of the things that are happening with you right now?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, of course. I mean, look, it's really a movable feast. And in fact, I was saying to someone yesterday, I've got so many pots on the boil at the moment in the smart city space that sometimes I forget to cook something and I go hungry because, you know, we've got about 15 meals that I'm planning to cook. But you know, one of the great things I'm doing at the moment is really, really working with councils and putting in place a future city, a smart city, a digital economy strategy. Now, that's really rewarding because there's so much possibility, so many options in the smart city space. Where do you start? It's often the hardest, most fundamental question when people start saying, where do we, you know, how do we get involved with smart cities? So working with places like Goulburn, Mulwarrie, working with places like Wallandilly on the outskirts of Sydney, working with Yass Valley here north of Canberra, working with the City of Logan to put in place a city future strategy, and now working with a regional council like North Burnett Regional Council who we're working together to put in place an innovation strategy. This is fantastic. And I say again and again that if you want to drive innovation, if you want to drive a smart city rollout, then you really do need to have a strategy and a plan, because it provides you focus, it provides you discipline, and it provides you a flag and a banner to wave around to attract new allies to your cause and to really drive momentum. So, you know, it's one thing to go, oh yeah, we'll be smart and we'll just have that in the back of our minds. It's really not enough. You've got to have something that says, this is what we stand for. Come and work with us, come and help us. And you really want to empower and enthuse the community to get behind it. And that's what's happening nationally. And of course, I'm working with universities to help them develop their smart campuses, with new developers to help develop their new smart precincts and smart suburbs. But more excitingly equal excitement for me is the ability to work internationally as well. So, you know, I'm working with partner Barcelona to create a new, a smart prioritization methodology. Now, one thing we really struggle with in Australia, in fact, around the world, is how we allocate public money in such a way to maximise community outcomes. Now, what this smart prioritisation methodology does is it allows communities and cities and councils to pick out the criteria, economic, social, environment, that they would like to assess their projects again. So it provides a very rigorous methodology which you go through and rank and assess different projects. But it also allows you to bring in key stakeholders, to bring in community representatives into the decision-making process, so that when you decide how to allocate, say you've got $5 million and you've got 20 projects, and you decide that you can afford, you know, seven of those, when you decide that these are the seven projects that we're going to invest in, your key stakeholders, business, academics, the community, have been in the room and privy and part of the decision-making and ranking process. Now, that's a fantastic example of not only using data in a more disciplined, analytical, robust way, but actually being inclusive in decision making and really democratizing the allocation of public funding. So this is a platform that we are putting online now. We're putting it in the cloud, and we're hoping to bring it to Australia. We'll launch it in Australia, New Zealand, and Spain in probably February, March next year. We're really excited about it, Zoe. They're using it to great effect in Barcelona. The community there, the utilities, and the council authorities, they love it. And so we think it's a great opportunity for Australia just to get more rigorous about our decision-making. That's the sort of stuff that we're doing with Delos Delta, and it's really exciting.
Yeah, wow, no, it definitely sounds really exciting. Just want you to talk a little bit about some of the things you saw overseas. Particularly, I've heard you speak about Seoul and how they talk about how the citizen is the mayor, and then some of the apps or the applications that they're using that really makes that the foundation of everything they're doing.
Yes, no, good question, Zoe. And look, I mean, it was certainly a fascinating journey, and I would encourage everyone to who's interested to have a check out the Churchill Fellowship, check out the Winston Churchill Memorial Trust, which was set up some 52 years ago as a living legacy to the great Sir Winston Churchill. And if you've got a passion, if you've got something you're interested in, if you want to go overseas and study an area that you think is important to Australia and bring back that knowledge to Australia, well, check it out. It's fantastic. I mean, we send across some 100 Australians every year, and it really is a fantastic opportunity. But look, I was lucky enough to go, as I said before, to Asia, to Europe, to North and South America, and I saw a whole range of amazing things, Zoe. I mean, in Lima, in Peru, not often on the Smart City Trail, for instance, but they're doing really cool things, like they're fitting out shipping containers with digital technology and moving them around to different schools. Why are they doing that? Because they simply don't have the amount of resources that perhaps we have in Western countries, but they know that this technology is the future. They want to give their children access to it. So they're really investing the best way that they can to ensure that their children can play around with that technology and build skills and capability. And in Seoul, as you mentioned, well, I mean, Seoul really is a digital city, and they really are a smart city leader. They are fantastic. If you want to go anywhere to visit a smart city leader, then Seoul is one of the places you should get to. But what I love about them, is their philosophy. Their philosophy about putting people at the center, about empowering their community, about, you know, really, really living and breathing their phrase that the citizen is the mayor. There isn't many cities around the world that really enact it in a very real and tangible way. Now, they've got a suite of digital tools and platforms that they use to enable this philosophy that the citizen is the mayor. Now, one of these is called M-Voting, mobile voting. It goes on people's mobile phones. It goes on people's laptops and computers. It's an online application. It's voluntary. 80,000 people have voluntarily signed up already in Seoul. And what the council does, they push out issues to provide views on, to provide feedback on, and they push them out in real time. In fact, the citizens can even put forward ideas that other citizens vote on. And the council takes these into consideration and, in fact, implement and enacts a lot of these proposals that come forward and are voted on by the community. Now, this city really is saying digital, saying smart, and they are walking smart and walking digital as well. And I think it's fantastic. And we've got a lot to learn from Seoul. I mean, in other areas too, Zoe, I might just quickly mention what the Americans are doing is fantastic. They are really, really, really in front of us, extremely clever and intelligent in the way that they are leveraging new funding and financing models to drive forward and accelerate smart city activity. So, for instance, in San Jose, it was a few years ago now, but Philips came in and upgraded 1,000 streetlights, upgraded them so that they would save significant amounts of energy for the city. And they did that at no cost, absolutely no cost to the city. Why, you might ask? Well, because on 50 of those streetlights, they put microcell little towers, you know, the cell towers that allow us to use our mobile phones, cellular towers, and they sold that cell capability, that mobile phone capability to the big telcos. Okay, now Philips is happy to make some money. The city's happy they get new assets that save them money. And the citizens are happy because they get less mobile black spots and they get better lighting outcomes in terms of amenity and safety. Now, that's a win-win-win for Philips and for the city and their citizens. And they are the sort of exciting and innovative financing models that the Americans are really, really good at implementing. And certainly, we've got a lot to learn from them here in Australia.
No, it's really interesting to think about those different business models and ones that that we can't even think about yet that will happen as part of this smart city movement. Leading on from that, how do you think that we can better integrate across our disciplines, you know, government, industry, universities, not just the big guys, but also the little startups as well?
As we all know, we really are living in an innovation time zone at the moment. It's all about innovation, and innovation happens most regularly when we get different groups, be they different sectors, be they different age groups, be they different different backgrounds and ethnicities and diversities coming together. That's a great cauldron and a great melting pot for innovation to happen. So there's some fantastic ways of catalyzing these relationships, these connections, these bump-ins that can really drive forward innovation and economic development. Of course, I think we've seen around Australia the advent of innovation learning hubs. Co-working hubs, rather. Now, these really are a fantastic place for people to come together of different disciplines, of different backgrounds, of different educations, of, you know, different international citizenry to bring together their ideas and to start new things. And it really, what I love about it, Zoe, is it's breaking the old working paradigms. The old working paradigms where you work for a particular employer, you go to the office every day, you sit at the same desk every day, you work with the same team every day, you make the same phone calls every day. Look, that's a bubble and an old school paradigm that we simply can't afford anymore. We've got to bring more people together. We've got to get them mixing more. The innovation hubs, the co-working hubs are a fantastic way of doing that. And indeed, there is, you know, both private and public models of making that happen. I'd also refer to, of course, you know, some of the peak groups, the bodies that are working together at these various sectors, like the Australian Smart Communities Association. I happen to be, as I said before, the president of that association. And we are really keen to make sure that we bring together councils with vendors, with innovators, and with governments to create new products, to create new services, to modernize regulation, to do things differently, to disrupt old ways of doing things. And the best way of making that happen is to create dialogues, to create places where people can explore new ideas and try different things. So look, Zoe, there's two examples of you know, how we can really, you know, get new activity happen and accelerate you know, innovation and smart city activity. There are many more, but the innovation hubs, the co-working hubs, and actually joining together with some of these associations like the Australian Smart Communities Association, which really provide a big community of practice to drive smart city technology forward. They're two really great ways of bringing these things together.
Yeah, awesome. So you talked a little bit about Australia being leaders in the smart city space. How do you think we can, well, which areas do you think we are leaders in, and which areas do you think we still need to improve on?
Yeah, okay. Look, I think that, I mean, certainly in areas of improvement, we absolutely need to improve on the digital democracy side of things. There are organisations that are really working hard on cracking this nut. It's a really difficult challenge, and there are organisations like MyVote, myvote.org.au. It's MIVOTE. I'm not associated with them in any way, but I do follow them, and I do see what they're doing. And what they're doing is they're trying to modernise their democratic system by electing independent members to assemblies and parliaments, and then using a digital platform so that representatives stay in close contact with their constituents and, in fact, take guidance for their constituents on every issue that they vote on or make a decision on. So it really is trying to blend together representative democracy with direct democracy. And I think it's an exciting initiative and something that, you know, we should engage with and have a dialogue about. They just one examples. There are organisations like the New Democracy, which is really looking very closely at citizen juries and how we empower the community through that way, and then organisations like Flux, which are doing similar things to MyVote. I think this is an area that Australia really is lagging in many respects. I think that we really haven't taken that forward. Now, where do I think we're doing well? Look, I think we're starting to do well in the smart parking space, and parking really is one of the backbone fundamentals of a smart city, where you've got a lot of cars moving around looking for the same car spaces. And, you know, study after study or has been quoted saying that about 30% of congestion in business areas is often simply just cars looking for car spaces. Now, that's an incredible waste of resources, incredibly costly in terms of congestion and greenhouse gas emissions, incredibly annoying as citizens. And we really have, taken up this challenge in Australia. And I know that we've got a range of projects funded in Australia that are going to drive forward better parking outcomes. You know, the ability to get real-time information, the ability to find car parks more easier, the ability to pay by mobile payment rather than running to machines and putting coins in and putting paper tickets on cars. That is such an old-school, non-digital way of managing what is a very fundamental part of our economy. So, look, I think we're doing really well in the smart parking space, Zoe, and I think we really need to do much better in the digital democracy and digital evolution space.
So you talked a little bit about some of these emerging trends. What are the ones that people aren't talking about at the moment that we need to be talking about?
Yeah, I mean, it's really, really it's open to your imagination. I mean, the thing that I've learned from digital disruption is that it's disrupting everything. It's disrupting everything. And we can certainly see it disrupting services, business models. We can certainly see it disrupting, companies and societal relationships. We've been quite blinkered to the possibilities of digital disrupting government. That's going to happen more and more. And, we need to really be on the front foot rather than let digital disruption happen to us. I think that, some areas that we really are going to see some disruption that, perhaps not everyone is talking about in the areas of, our banking and finance. So, I mean, there's a lot of people who are, a lot of companies who are moving into the space, for instance. And if we're doing all our shopping, say, on Amazon, well, then it's only a hop, skip and a jump away from us to actually doing all our banking on Amazon. And I believe that the banking sector will be disrupted severely by this in the coming, 5 to 10 years. And in the same regard, associated with this is all the crypto, how are they going to disrupt our economic and monetary systems and monetary policy in countries? Now, I just believe that these currencies, these digital currencies, are going to become more prevalent. I don't particularly know how that's going to manifest itself yet, but they will have a vast impact on our economies, on our societies, and on our government policies. I'm not sure if we really have a full understanding of that at this stage, but you know, I think for those of us who are interested in smart cities and smart government and the development of digital disruption, then we should absolutely keep a close eye on the banking sector and our monetary sectors.
Yeah, definitely. Wow, this has been such a great talk. I learn something new every time I talk to you, Brooke. It's been awesome. So my last question is, how do people connect with you?
How do people connect with me? Oh, well, that shouldn't be too difficult. People can reach out to me on LinkedIn, Brooke Dixon, BROOKDIXON, so no E on the Brooke and an X in the Dixon, on Twitter, DeBrookie, DiBROOKIE, and otherwise you can get in touch with me at Delos Delta, which is my company, BrookeDixon at DelosDelta.com, no .au, just .com, we're a global company, and otherwise reach out to the Australian Smart Communities Association. Or on Facebook too. Facebook, on Twitter, on LinkedIn, or via my email account at Delos Delta or Australian Smart Communities Association. I'd love to hear from each and every one of you who's interested in smart cities because, you know, the more people we've got involved, the more people who are motivated, skilled, experienced, and persistent, the better we can do for Australia in terms of, you know, building better communities, more connected communities, more inclusive communities, more creative communities.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thanks so much for talking to me today. And yeah, we'll definitely talk again soon.
Thanks, Zoe. And I should just mention too, I forgot to mention, check out my TED on digital revolutionizes democracy and digital democratizes revolution. You can just check that out on TEDx Canberra. It's fantastic little insight into different ways of thinking about democracy. But you should check that out. It's fairly provocative and fairly passionate. So if you're interested in what I've been saying today, well, you can check out that as well.
Yeah, perfect. We'll put all those links in the show notes so people can check that out.
Lovely to be online with all your listeners as well. And you know, look forward to talking to you more, to working together and to meeting many of your listeners around Australia and hopefully internationally.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks, Brooke.
Thanks so much, Zoe. You have a nice day and let's keep going smart cities.
Sounds good. Okay, see ya.
It's the Smart City Podcast. Whoa.
Thanks so much for listening to the Smart City Podcast. Show notes for this episode and all other episodes can be found at thesmartcitypodcast.com. If you have any questions or comments for me or any of my guests, connect with me via email, zoe@thesmartcitypodcast.com or via the socials. I'm on Twitter and Facebook at Smart City Pod. As always, I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed making it.
Smart City Podcast is what you're looking for.